93.5,
95.3
Connect FM.
Always a pleasure to welcome some wisdom Mondays and Fridays on the radio here, 93.5, 95.3. I'm Stevie J, Brother Johnny, New Orleans, Louisiana this morning. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Stevie J.
Mike Ditka, live from Detroit Motor City. What are you doing up there, Mike?
Well, I came up to play in a golf tournament for my buddy Mike Lucci. They honored him. We had a bunch of guys out last night. We had a great conversation. Joe Schmidt, some of the old-timers. We had a lot of fun. It really was. It was a great time. And we're going to play golf today for him. Then I have a dinner for him tonight at the country club. So
awesome.
It's kind of a nice deal.
Awesome. And of course, the Hall of Fame game, Canton, Ohio, the induction ceremonies. That's a special weekend, isn't it, Mike?
It really is. I didn't get a chance to go, and I really, because this thing came up, I had a couple things I had to do. I had to be in Orlando the other day, which I really enjoyed tremendously. Actually, on Saturday, I had to be in Orlando for the big cigar show down there. I'm going to do something with David off. They're going to make a new line of cigars for me, and I really had a great time. I went to the exhibition hall, and then I went to the Black Tie dinner and spoke to him. And yeah, I'm not a politically correct son of a gun, so I love cigars. And, I'm all for cigar rights. I really am. So, I mean, I want to take Dick Durbin and punch him in the nose.
All right, well, I wanted the Hall of Fame game. The Saints beat the Cardinals, and after the game, Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, Stevie, I tell you, the Saints needed to win. It was a meaningful, meaningless game because we need a little PR. And,
yeah, right.
You know, they
you guys beat me because I didn't know there was football going on. I knew there was golf going on, but I didn't know there was any football going on. I'm kind of in another planet now. I got to turn around from here, go home tonight, and then catch a flight at 7 in the morning and go to Pittsburgh to see my mom. So
wow.
I'm pretty busy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I liked watching the Hall of Fame game. You see some new players. But my favorite part, Larry Fitzgerald with the Arizona Cardinals was signing autographs. So they were showing the crowd, and he's signing away. And here's a guy, a fan at the Hall of Fame game with a Chicago Bear orange and blue jersey. And right across the front, Ditka. And I thought that fit in pretty well. That fit in the Hall of Fame game pretty well, Stevie.
I want one of those. I want a shirt that says Ditka. I do.
We got them at the restaurant, guys. I'll get you one. I get my son to get some. We sold those at the restaurant for years. I mean, hey, listen, nobody else wants them. We come in the restaurant.
All right, let's begin with Michael Phelps, 18 gold medals. Mike, how incredible is that?
Well, not only that, I had a chance to watch some of the Olympics, and I was watching some of the water polo and all that. What fantastic athletes they are. What dedicated, committed people they are to do what they do. Is really, I mean, you spend the majority of your life, you know, to get ready to do what they do. Michael Phelps, one of the great stories, I mean, maybe of all time, I mean, let's face it, to win that many medals and the training and, you know, people, all you see is the final product. All we see is that race. But all the time and effort and practice and sacrifice that these guys go through, these women go through to get ready for this is unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you, swimming, too, is a hard sport. But they do have a lot of events in swimming. I think that's, you know, Spitz had a lot of medals.
Yeah, right,
swimmers.
Right.
If you're good in swimming, yeah. You got a lot of shots at a medal, and then you got the relay.
Yeah, you're right, John. There's a lot of events, but, man, you're still swimming. You're swimming. I don't care if you're swimming backwards, breaststroke. You know, top words, whatever you're doing, relays, you're still swimming. Now, listen, I get up in the morning, and when I'm in Chicago, and I swim a couple laps. Hey, couple laps, listen to me. Couple laps. It might take me 5 minutes to swim a couple laps. It's hard stuff, let me tell you. If you try to do it sometimes.
And of course, you watch into that water polo. How strong are those guys?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Look at the bodies on those people.
Oh.
They're unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, you swim 200 meters and get hit in the stomach and the face and elbowed here, and you're 6'6", 240, and you swim 200 meters. You can eat everything you want. That's a good – I could have Mike Ditka's pot roast nachos all day.
That's right. You can eat all those
all
you want.
All day.
You could go to the board of Bob.
Yeah.
What do you mean you could? You'd do that anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm burning them off.
7:39, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. All right. The Democrats going after Mitt Romney because of this. He won't release – his taxes. You heard Harry Reid. We talked about it on Friday. Harry Reid said that he'd heard that Mitt hadn't paid any taxes for 10 years. And so the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Chairman Priebus, yesterday on ABC's George Stephanopoulos,
As far as Harry Reid is concerned, listen, I know you might want to go down that road. I'm not going to respond to a dirty liar who hasn't filed a single page of tax returns himself, complains about people with money but lives in the Ritz-Carlton. I'm not going to go there. This is just a made-up issue, and the fact that we're going to spend any time talking about it is
just ridiculous. You say you're not
going to
respond, but you just called him a dirty liar. You stand by that? You think Harry Reid's a dirty liar?
I just said it.
And now Deborah Wasserman Schultz and David Axelrod.
I do know that there are massive questions about why he has a Swiss bank account, why he has investments in the Cayman Islands and a Bermuda corporation that he transferred to his wife's name one day before he became governor of Massachusetts. Those are questions that when you're running for president of the United States, that the American people deserve answers to.
I don't know who Harry was talking to. And the point here, though, Chris, is the Romney campaign and Governor Romney can resolve this in 10 seconds. They can release the tax returns. Why don't they just put this to rest? What is it that he's hiding?
All right, this is the diversion, is it not, Mike, to say, hey, we can't talk about the economy, so we got to pound on something.
Well, absolutely, it is a diversion. But let's, you know, the main thing that they Romney ought to come back with is when he shows his birth certificate, where he was born, then I'll show my tax return.
Well, and
simple. It's not complicated. This guy
how about
is
who backed him and who supported
him? I'm not sure
him,
he's an American citizen. I'm serious. I don't know myself. But just show it. If there's nothing to hide, show it. Bring it forth.
Well,
I agree with the last statement. Romney ought to show his too. There's no question about it. You can put this all to rest and say tax returns are no problem. If you did nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide.
Well, too, Stevie, you know, that's not a campaign. That's just a waste of time. You know, what's the point of that? They have
absolutely.
Harry Reid, I mentioned, I just don't have a lot of respect for the man. And
I wouldn't say he's quite what the other guy said he is, a dirty little liar, but he's probably the least likely guy you'd ever want to have a drink with in your life.
He's a hypocrite.
Absolutely.
He's just he's not doing his job, Steve, because he hasn't passed a budget for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to do that. That's a big part of one of our problems is this budget / deficit. And he won't even get the ball rolling by passing a budget, which is actually required for him to do. We're paying him. They're living in a Ritz-Carlton. He won't even do his job. So I don't pay attention to what Harry says. But, you know, the Democrats are just going to have to continue to assault Romney on anything they can think of. That's all they
Right. When you have no record to run on, and this is Obama, you have no record to run on. You have nothing that you've done in office for 4 years. The best thing they've done is they blame Bush. That's the best thing they do. That's the only thing they've accomplished. They blame Bush for the position they're in. They can't get out of it because they don't know what they're doing. Now, the only way to attack Romney is to break down anything he's ever done in his life, because they can't do anything positive about what they are, who they are, what they stand for, what they've done. They've done nothing.
And Mitt Romney said this, and I think it's pretty succinct and probably is right on point.
Now is the time for something dramatic, and it is not the time to grow government. It's the time to create the incentives and the opportunities for entrepreneurs and businesses, big and small, to hire more people.
All right, so slow the spending. Let's get it back to where we should be able to handle this, Johnny, and let guys create jobs.
Well, guys, you know, the stupidest statement made by anybody in the history that I can remember of it, you didn't do it. Somebody helped you do it. Come on. I mean, that was so stupid. Nobody in their right mind could ever make that statement, let alone the President of the United States. You didn't do it by yourself. Somebody had to help you. Come on, wake up, will you?
Well,
you
know,
life you get what you work for, period.
And it's that philosophy that kind of downplays freedom and independence in the highest level. And then,
absolutely.
And it just says, listen, you need us to really help take care of you. Really can't.
Government, we're big brother. Yeah, we take care of everybody.
I don't remember, John and Mike, in my life of ever having this, you know, a philosophy that the president is really standing behind, saying, hey, you know, we are at a crossroads here about what kind. You want to go back to the failed policies that got us in this mess, or do you want to you want to go the new way? And the new way apparently looks like European socialism to me.
Well, I'm going to go back to the old way, because we didn't get in this because of the old way. We went through a recession period. Now, you know, things are starting to grow again in our country. I think things are getting better. There's no question about it. But this guy can't even run on that because he doesn't know that they're getting it. They don't emphasize what it's doing right now. I think the economy, well, I can't speak for everybody. I'm just telling you, when I travel a little bit, if the economy's bad, I don't know where the hell they're getting the money for the gas in the cars.
No.
There's traffic everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, it's like, we've been overspending for a long, long time, Steve. This isn't Obama's new idea, but it's like you have a little fire and you put it out with gasoline. That's what Obama's
doing.
He's made it way worse, and he's exacerbated the thing, and he's upping the spending. And then he says he spent less money. This guy spent more money than every president put together, and he tells you he spent less money than any president.
Yeah. All right.
What to say?
Okay, another tragedy, a shooting, this time in Wisconsin. Here's a Aurora, Colorado survivor from The Maniac at the movie theater commenting about the Sikh temple shooting. Unbelievable.
I don't sympathize. I empathize. I know what they're going through. I know that right now they're still probably in shock. Anybody who is here went through the same thing, and that puts us in the same kind of a category. We understand, we empathize in the same way that people in Columbine empathize and the people who remember 9/11 empathize.
I don't know, Johnny. It's just a head shaker again here.
I don't know how you shoot a Sikh. I mean, the Sikhs, they never hurt any. They're fine. They're gentle. I don't know why anyone would want to shoot a Sikh. You know, they have the turban, Mike, and they don't shave. They're a religion that we knew several when we were in India, and they're just not, I just don't get it. I mean, it's
no, I don't either, John. I'm sorry, I don't get any of this. I don't know why anybody does what they do, but you know, these people have to be demented in some way, or they have an evil purpose in their mind to do what they do. It's ridiculous.
These are really, really peaceful people. I mean, they really are, and I guess it's just a look maybe they have. You're thinking turban, terrorists, I don't know what. There's ignorance involved, obviously.
Well, and, you know, it makes you think maybe I should be carrying a weapon. I go the other way. You know, people say, we need gun control, but you can't stop someone like that, no matter what you do. So maybe we should all have a gun.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
guns don't kill people, do you know that really? Honestly.
Well, and if it had not been for the police officer, this would have been a lot worse. The police officer able to shoot and kill this guy. Otherwise, they think there could have been much more than six dead. So,
well,
it's just again another sign of troubled times, I guess.
All right. I don't know. I mean, these are innocent, unarmed people. I don't know what you think you're proving or what.
Well, it might illuminate. Nobody talks about mental illness. We've got a lot of it here in this country.
We do, yeah. I'm going out for a walk, and then, you know, somebody shoots you. I mean, that's basically what's happening, and it's ridiculous.
All right, 7:48. All right, the NASA people, extremely excited this morning.
If anybody has been harboring doubts about the status of U.S. leadership in space, well, there's a one-ton automobile-sized piece of American ingenuity, and it's sitting on the surface of Mars right now, and it should certainly put any such doubts to rest.
Johnny, that's not easy to land. I mean, you know how to do tough things engineering-wise, but to take something from Earth and land it on Mars, I think it's a pretty good deal.
Well, that is an engineering feat, and I've always supported NASA, Mike. It does cost a lot of money, but we learn things. And we find new things, and we're exploring things. So
I hope we learn things, John. I don't know what we've learned so far.
Well, it's
learned
usually
some light
kind of
there. I know that, but yeah, I guess there's a purpose for everything. And if you like it, then I'll like it. But I don't understand it.
No, I think it's a tremendous achievement, Steve. And
the achievement's tremendous. I mean, being able to do that is amazing. I'm just not sure why we're doing it. That's all.
Yeah. And Mike doesn't understand the cost versus results, I guess, from the standpoint of
I mean, he's got a point with that, but you know, the whole program, I think, of NASA, which they've cut back, is, you know, $15 or $20 billion, and you look at the money being spent. We get a lot of just PR out of it, and inspiration for kids and science.
Yeah,
so there's it's corollary benefits, and it's just our curiosity, I think, is healthy in that respect.
Why does it bother me that the Chinese are going to go back to the moon before we are? I know it probably doesn't matter, but it kind of bothers me.
It doesn't bother
me. It doesn't bother me, guys. I hope they go there and stay there. Actually, listen, maybe they might inhabit it. Who knows?
And I'll tell you, it's tough to do. I'm gotta be interested to see how they do, because the U.S. has been a leader there, and it's our innovation and that independence and creative thinking that gets the ideas eventually all out to where we can do it. We had better technology than the Soviets, for sure, and that was a different system, and that their system didn't allow the creativity that the U.S. has exhibited in all fronts, but particularly in space. So we'll see how the Chinese can do.
Well, and again, once they get to the moon, I mean, again, is it a space race or is it not a space race? I mean, who's going to have the better innovation? Who's going to take superiority of the sky? All these other issues that come up from people that are worried about each other.
Well, I think we claimed the moon anyway. We got our flag up there, so
they wouldn't take it down, would they? They wouldn't go take it.
They might put one next. I don't know. Where are they going? What's their schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so you've got football, Mike. The NFL's about a month away. This is a big deal. Is it because of fantasy football? Is it because the NFL has huge a lot of gambling on it? But this, feels like the NFL's getting bigger and bigger.
Well, it is, but I mean, you know what drives, the only thing that drives it, guys, is popularity of the fan. When the fan quits thinking it's important, then it will not be important. I mean, that's what drives it. You know, and you're right, it has to do with gambling, it has to do with fantasy football, it has to do with a lot of things. But, you know, the excitement of the game, I think the appreciation of the athletes, the teams, it's their ability to relate to that team in their city. I mean, there's so many things that go into this. It gives a personal pride. Well, I'm from Detroit, or I'm from Chicago or New Orleans, so you know this is my team, and this is pretty exciting stuff. It really is, and a lot of money. Believe me, there's a lot of money going on right now, and the leagues you're going to end up paying a lot of money for on this concussion thing. Believe me, but this is a bad deal.
I'll tell you, Mike, the city thing, the NFL has done the best job, however it happens.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree with you.
Connecting with the city. The New Orleans was all up watching the Hall of Fame game. We wanted to win the game because New Orleans would win, and we've taken quite the hammering this offseason. But I think that it's also the nature of the game being once a week where people don't miss it. There's too many basketball games. Baseball's hard to follow because you just miss it.
Too many.
It is once a week for 16 weeks, and then you go into a pretty sophisticated playoff system, and then on the Super Bowl. You're right. The build-up to the Super Bowl is unbelievable. And I mean, but it takes a whole season. It takes a lot of accomplishment, a preseason, a lot of off-season conditioning. It's a year-round sport right now.
But then the product, you get the game, and then by the end of the week, everybody knows, okay, how we did in the game last week and who we're playing next week. And they don't miss anything. So people can kind of follow it, like following the show. If you miss half the show you like, you quit watching it because you can't keep up. So I think that helps, but I think the NFL is, I agree with Steve, it seems to be getting bigger. And then what, Cleveland, $1.2 billion? I still haven't. Steve,
that's,
we could have had the Cleveland Indians for $30 million.
You just
said
it right on the button right there. Cleveland, Ohio, $1.2 billion. That's enough said.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Mike, I tell this story because it was a real story in my life in 1985. I told Johnny, I said, we should go buy the Cleveland Indians in 1985 because at the time, the Cleveland Indians were on sale for $35 million.
I think we could have gotten for
$30.
Well, the only problem is we didn't have any money.
Well, I even called Bill Veeck, Mike, right before he died, and he said, you want to own a team? Forget about it. He said, small guy can't do it. He said, get a minor league team. You'll have fun and make money. That's the last thing Bill Veeck did. He died 6 months later, so he was, anyway, $1.2 billion, astonishing. But I think the fantasy football is so ginormous. There are people getting together. These massive drafts. They have these huge drafts of these guys. You know how much workplace time is being lost because of fantasy football? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You're right. It's absolutely, I don't understand that either. I'm sorry. That's the same thing. I don't understand why we put rockets on the moon or Mars, but I don't understand fantasy football either.
Well, when I'm in either Texas or in Illinois, a lot of people will high-five me for Pierre Thomas or Drew Brees, and that's because they've got them on their fantasy football team.
I know.
Oh, boy.
I know. They're not rooting for teams anymore. No. They're rooting for players. It's crazy. Yep. It is unbelievable, but yet there's money involved. It's you can play general manager. You can trade with your buddies. It's. I did this back in the late 80s once, and it was so consuming. It was unbelievable. You thought about it all the time. It's crazy. Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate both of you. We'll call you on Friday.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Mike.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. All right, the official stop. Yeah, he didn't say it, did he?
Wake up, will ya?
Wake up.
Was
the closest we got. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have now added another $25 to our Stop It pool. So Friday, and Mike Ditka does not know anything about this.
Right. Friday the 10th, $100.
I tell you what, I thought we had it right there on the...
I know.
I was trying to make sure I listened because he had the cell phone today.
I was dancing around it.
All right, so no Stop It. That means Friday when Mike and Johnny are on at 7:30. If he says Stop It, first caller gets a $100 bill.
There we go.
$100 on Friday.